I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello there and welcome back to Four Times in a Podcast. You join us on the evening of the 29th of January. We're here to discuss a few things tonight. We'll discuss the 1-0 victory over Ross County at Celtic Park, discuss the ongoing transfers in and out of the club or lack of, and just generally talk about January as a whole. So delighted to say the four A's are back tonight. It's myself and I'm with Andy, Danny and Tony. So we'll start with the positive, if you can call it that. The team were actually booed off on Saturday, which has caused a bit of a stir. After a 1-0 victory at home to Ross County, it was a pretty poor performance that was settled by a deflected Alistair Johnson strike 2 minutes into the game. Danny, I'll come to you first. Just on the Ross County game, what was your thoughts on it? I thought the performance was pretty terrible. I think pretty summed up the Lewis Palmer's double attempt at his penalty. It was pretty pitiful, but as I say, there was some sections of the support that booed at full time, voicing their displeasure. First of all, who do you think that was aimed at, and is it just sort of the feeling that's around the club now that's causing this sort of thing to happen?
I didn't think Celtic were great on Saturday, although I didn't think there was just what folk have made out of. I think it was the kind of timing of the game and the context of the game caused a lot of the kind of moaning. The booing, it I didn't agree with after they won, you know, but you can kind of really argue with people that are booing because the game wasn't that great. I just probably booed at the board. I doubt they're booing the team after a win. Well, they didn't play great, but I think it's just the frustration. Like, if they'd have won that game, played like that and won against Hearts, say, back in December, probably wouldn't have got a right reaction. But because of the context, fans are quite rightfully concerned, and especially when you score after 60 seconds, you think score 4 or 5. And I didn't think they were that bad in the first half, but the penalty miss for Palmer, the first one, and then it comes back and it gets there again, they miss it again. I was watching the telly, you were at it, so you was able to tell me. But you could feel, like, you could just feel the air getting deflated at the stadium, like the crowd, everyone kind of felt low after that, and the team, and I thought the second half were a bit better. Nice passages of play, they were just a step out. I think O'Reilly and Bernardo linked up quite well. I linked up quite well with Riley a few times, and the final ball was just half, and you can watch that and say, oh well, unlucky. But at the end of the day, we're into January and the team have not hit their stride yet, so that's concerning. And if you're still waiting on the team hitting their stride at this point in the season, then that is quite concerning. So it was good to get a win. You know, they have won 6 in a row, but there's just not a great feeling around the club at the minute, and the team is screaming out for enforcements, and they're screaming out the players. Some of them out there are like, O'Reilly got injured in the first half. I think he played the 90 minutes, or at least played most of the game, but he looked knackered after about 50, 60 minutes. So they're screaming out for help in there. Rodgers must be screaming out himself, never mind anybody else. But it wasn't a vintage Celtic, but they, 83 points, especially in the context where we're at, but that wasn't great. And can I really blame people for voicing their displeasure? I mean, they pay good money to go, and it just felt like Ross County, or they had an attack for the last 5 minutes and they were going to score, and Joe Hart had a good save, but he went down about 5 seconds too early and nearly ended up making an arse of it, but he kept it out. And the defence kind of did their job, but it was pretty bleak and inspiring. And you, like, when they scored after 60 seconds, I'm watching it thinking, oh, maybe I've turned a corner here with that, you know, the four games before the break and then the Bucky game. And after a minute, you think, maybe we have turned a corner, but about 20 minutes later, you're like, no, this is following the same pattern every other game we've played against teams that are in woeful form, just completely go to fucking bits against them, and they seem to play like the team that are in. We play the team out of form, but we got the 3 points. It might be a massive 3 points coming in this season, but it wasn't exactly. You didn't leave the game, or you didn't stop watching the game thinking we're on the right tracks.
I think you're right. You mentioned that last week on here that we have seemed to struggle against teams that come to Celtic Park with absolutely no form to their name, but thankfully we did get the win. As you say, I think that was the most important thing. Obviously, as you say, it keeps a winning run going. We have had a lot of trouble in Novan Avery sort of get a winning run going together, and if we get a few more games on that, then it's going to start to look pretty impressive. But for me, it was one of the poorer performances of the season. But we obviously, it's a dream start. Like, I know there was a few eyebrows raised when Burnley Bay was brought in to replace the injured Greg Taylor. It's obviously his cross that eventually gets to Alistair Johnston and puts us ahead, and you're thinking that it was the perfect start for what you would hope would have been a team getting a right doing at Celtic Park, but it just didn't happen. And there was a lot of chances in the first half. I think there was a good save from an O'Reilly shot, and I think Bernardo put the sort of rebound over the bar when the net was empty and looked like it could just be put in. But as you say, the penalty did seem to deflate the support, like, because Palmer's already missed one a few months ago, and fair enough, he scored a few as well, but the penalty is so pitiful, and the restarter, it just tells a lot of people that don't like that. It just causes nervousness, and the keeper obviously read it perfectly, and then you get the golden second chance to put that right. And I know there was a lot of talk about whether he should have hit the retake, but I didn't really see anybody saying, I'll take this one, or like nobody sort of saying to him, maybe he should pass on. And fair enough to him, he stood up and took it. Today, the exact same thing again was just an unbelievably bad decision, and it shouldn't have been near penalties again for us, because to make the same mistake twice was just ludicrous, and the keeper probably couldn't believe his luck. That first half, I think Ross County must have had, I think they had six corners maybe, and that happened when they came here in August as well. They had a barrage of first half corners as well, so although Hart didn't have an awful lot to do, they would have felt like they were in the game. And I think there was a cross Hart came for and missed, and there was one where he passed it directly to one of their forwards that we got away with as well. And it just felt like one of the days. And although Ross County, like, as I say, like, they didn't have any glaring opportunities, they just kept themselves in the game, and Celtic didn't look like they were going to add to it. They were so, I thought the full forward line was really poor on Saturday. I thought Abada was barely in the game. Palmer sort of penalty sort of summed him up. And Kyogo, just another game that he's not involved that much and barely get a touch of the ball. And when that happens, and you've got guys like Bernardo and O'Reilly who are just not as in hot form as they have been for the last few weeks, it just leaves you like knowing that one chance might come for Ross County and they might snatch something. And the subs are pretty uninspiring as well. Like, we're still turning the guys like Mikey Johnson and David Turnbull. I think it just sort of sums up where we are. I think Turnbull came on the 88 for 89th minute, and he somehow managed to make me lose my head as well, because he seemed to jump out of challenge, and Ross County broke up the park. And as you say, Joe Hart sort of went down in stages, made a save, and I think half of Celtic Park that was left in the ground thought that the rebound was going to be put in for an equaliser. Thankfully it didn't, and I wasn't surprised that the team got booed off, because I think even at half time there was a wee bit of discontent. I don't think there was boos at half time, but the boos have been coming. And as I say, I think there's just a bit of a toxic atmosphere around the club at the moment. There's people that weren't ready, the board, people that weren't ready, the recruitment team, people that weren't ready, the manager. There's just division all over the place. And so I'm like you, people pay their money, they can boo if they want. I wasn't involved in the booing on Saturday, but I'm certainly not going to hold it against anybody. I think it's the perfect opportunity to voice your displeasure if you're not enjoying what you're seeing, or you have got problems with the way things are going. But it's, as I say, I'm delighted that we got the win, because you just need we can't afford any more slip-ups at this stage, because momentum just does feel like it's slipping away and it feels like it's our own doing. So the fact that we are managing to get the 3 points on the pitch is obviously pleasing. I thought Rodgers' comments after the game were probably a bit misjudged, and when he was asked about the booing, and he said that if it's not a result, it's him, and if it's not him, it's the board. And I thought that was maybe a wee bit in poor form to say that. And there's a lot of supporters like myself who still like Rodgers, think he's the right man to take us forward. But when you make comments like that, then it just doesn't do him any favours, I wouldn't say. But Tony, I know you've been choking since Saturday night to get on here and have a go. What was your thoughts on the game in general, and just how do you feel about the club at the moment? And we can all take a 25-minute break while we get your frustrations up.
25 minutes might be kind of accurate. I've actually taken notes. That's when you know that I'm fucking ready to really just bust at the seams. And I've had wee Mark, you know, winding me up on WhatsApp, just sending me all sorts of nonsense, knowing that I was going to lose the plot. I missed the first half. I was in Galway, so I wasn't actually at the game. I didn't travel. I seen the second half, and it was dreadful. I was shite myself the whole way through it. They nearly scored right at the end, the one the guy blazes over the bar. I just think if it's a tight game, we seem as if we don't really know how to see games out. I don't know if that's poor game management or what it is. Very, very, very bizarre. And I know Danny touched on the garbage teams we've come up against. I mean, we came up against St Johnson, who were in woeful form. I think they'd lost 4-0 to maybe Stenhouse Muir or Stranraer. It was one of the lower teams. And then they get a 0-0 draw. Motherwell were in an awful run. Came to Celtic Park, get a 1-1. And New Ross County, whose manager seems to be constantly getting stick, turn up and actually give you a really... And I don't mind if teams are going to give you a game, that's fine. But you just expect a bit more professionalism and a bit more desire to get goals, because goals keep coming into it in this title race. And why Kyogo's not hitting their penalties, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Even I've seen Kyogo strike a ball. He can't be any worse than Hitati or McGregor or Palmer or Turnbull. Just put Kyogo in the penalties and see how it goes, because our record of scoring penalties is absolutely atrocious. It's abysmal. And for Palmer to miss two in a row is pretty scandalous when you get the second attempt. I mean, my players don't just put it in the middle, I don't know. Just really strange. I don't really know where to start. I find myself kind of yo-yoing, but 1 minute I'm really enthusiastic about getting really angry and need to get rid of the board. And then other times I've gone, oh, I can't be arsed with this. I've been saying the same stuff about this board for forever. Then you put a tweet out, and then people comment, and it's all, who would you sign? Who should the board be? It's not my job, but surely everybody can see that we are not run properly. We're not run like a proper football club. There's no need for us to have £70 million in the bank, put out statements to brag, to say we've actually got more money than we anticipated, and then not to spend it. It doesn't make any sense. I think a lot of your fans need to get off their fucking knees, to be totally honest. This old Peter overseen 20 years of domestic dominance. I know he did, but he should have. No, I might sound spoiled and tired. He's done what he should have done. We should be fucking winning the league most years, because we've got the best money, we've got the best team, we've got the best managers. So that's just it. It's just, and then it's just this mad defence of the board. And I think the manager needs to be careful as well. I thought the comments were just stupid. This idea that people just boo for no reason. If people are booing him, it's because they don't like him. A lot of people didn't like the way he left. Now, I think everybody listening knows that I do like the manager. I've got a lot of time for him, and I think he's a really smart guy. But that was a stupid thing to say, to get after the fans. Fans are the people who pay his wages and pay the players' wages. So he's made a lot of money at Celtic. He's done a lot of good stuff, but I think he just needs to watch himself. And if we're booing the board, then we're not booing loud enough, as far as I'm concerned. That, I mean, I wouldn't have booed personally if I was there. I don't think I would ever boo them winning, but I couldn't care less if other fans do. I'm more offended the fans that want to defend our board and our recruitment team than a few fans that booed a piss poor performance to remind the players that we've got quite high standards here. So I don't really mind that. I think Dan touched on it. There is just so much discontent, and it's just that the club feels kind of fractured. I think the win against the Huns kind of made everybody think, all right, we'll kick on now, we'll sign some players. And as we record, it's the 29th of January, and we've signed one winger. I mean, that's just disgraceful. And I can't listen to anybody else say to me how difficult January is. See, if you get 70 million in the bank, your manager has been, he's no shut up about quality, need quality, quality, quality. See, if you identify a player in January and you make an offer and that team doesn't want them, up the offer. Go and fucking, if they want 5 million, give them it. If that's what the manager wants and he's saying, I think this player we've identified will help me win the league and win these even more money. But it's just, it's totally, totally absurd way to run a club. And now you're looking at Quans away at St Mirren. I think Lagerbielke is just about to go to Lech. Nathaniel Phillips was a disaster. Mark Lawwell should be sacked. I mean, there's no reason to keep this guy about. He's obviously not very good at his job. I don't think he's got his job on merit. I think he's got his job because of who his dad is, which is similar to fucking quite a few people at the club, as we know. So he should be sacked. Peter Lawwell should be removed from the club as chairman. Now, whether Peter Lawwell's had any hand in any of the transfer dealings or not, doesn't mean a thing. He's just a negative presence. I've been saying it forever. He's the kind of Celtic bogeyman, really, that people just think that he's meddling because he's history and other issues. He needs to leave the club. Needs to leave, just disappear. You can keep your nice seat and come to the games, but he shouldn't have any position, never mind the chairman of the football club. His son needs removed. For me, I think Michael Nicholson needs removed as well. You don't hear for these people then. You've got all these other people on the board that have been there for fucking ever, like at Thomas Allison, and I think there's a few other board members that have been there for 20 odd years. It's stale as fuck. It's all these old guys. It's time to bring in fresh ideas, people that actually are motivated to make Celtic a top-class football club in 2024. Because you look at, obviously, talking of quality, some of the players in that game, Burnaby, my God, he's dreadful. He is dreadful. And they've not managed to bring in a left back. He should never be playing for us. Rodgers knows he's terrible. His teammates probably know it. And the fans know it. So why is he playing? Because the recruitment team are shite at their job. They're absolutely useless and they've not managed to. I don't believe for a second there's no left back in the world better than Greg Taylor and Burnaby that isn't available in January if we splash the cash and maybe you pay over the odds, God forbid. Or maybe you break your wage structure, God forbid that happens, and you spend a bit of the money you keep bragging about. So he's garbage. Then you've got Turnbull coming on, not good enough. Mikey Johnson, not been good enough for 7 years, still playing. It's just the whole thing's bizarre. If Kyogo gets injured, we don't have a striker, you're probably going to put Abad up front. It's just, we're just all over the place. And I think anybody we sign now, it does just look like they've just gambled at the last minute. I'd like to have known if it had been any different if the Huns beat us, because we would have went into fucking meltdown. But I think we are going to go into meltdown. I think that's going to happen. I think we're going to drop points before the Huns next drop points, especially with Pataudry and Easter Road coming up. I think that's going to happen, whereby we're going to hand them an initiative. It just feels that way. It feels negative. It feels that something's got to give soon. And I thought, I realised that there was a part of me thinking, once we beat them, that the board might go, right, let's get some signings in right away. We'll get everybody United will press on. But they're too fucking stupid. They don't know what they're doing. And I really want them to leave. I want Dermot Desmond to sell up and just fuck off. I think I've said that quite a few times. I would love nothing more than him and Lawwell and all the cunt board and Nicholson just to leave and never return due to their kind of innate behaviour. And I think the way it's gone now, there's a very, very high chance that we won't win the league. And for other people who want to go on about Rangers having no money, we will have handed them money. And Rodgers would take a lot of blame for that as well, because he sounds as though he's kind of sticking up for the board, which I don't understand. This is the same board that caused him to leave the club 5 years ago. So I don't really know what he's doing. I don't know why he's come back. It says a million times, it's been such an absurd season. But for me, I think, I don't know if we'll sign anybody in the next couple of days. I don't think they will, to be honest. I don't think they care. I think it was a bit like the Lennon season, where fans turned up and they just dug their heels in and went, oh, you know, tell us what to do, it's your club. I think it's a bit like that. They get sacked the board and Lawwell get to fuck stuff. And they went, well, no, you use any signing. Who do you think you are? You don't criticise us. So for me, obviously winning 6 games in a row is great, but I just, now you can just kind of see the tip of the iceberg, and I think we're about to crash out into it. Don't get me wrong, we could still win the league, but in terms of where the club's kind of going, Are we ever going to make a dent in Europe? I don't think so. I think a lot of fans are just really happy just to beat Rangers if we can. Don't get me wrong, I'm still really passionate about it. I'm still angry, but this is a bit of me, it's a bit kind of apathetic, whereby I'm going, I really don't have the energy to argue with people on Twitter about this, or people just love the board, and, oh, Peter's overseen this, and, well, it could be worse. So did you want to end up at the Huns, as if I'm saying that we should just spend 70 million and borrow another 50? I want this to be run like an effective football club, but it does, it gets boring. It must get boring for people listening. It's boring for me talking about it, where you just wish we would act like a proper club. I mean, who was stopping us bringing in a striker, a left back, and a goalkeeper, a high quality, after some really good analysis of players, through a good kind of structured recruitment team, and then really kicking on, and you probably would win the league. So, I don't know. Yeah, it's just quite irritating, but I don't think there's anything we can do to change it. I've seen somebody commented in a post saying, we need to organise, nobody's going to want to try and start protests when we're in a title race, which I can understand. And at the end of the season, if we win the title, nobody will give a shit. If we lose the title, it'll be too late.
I've covered a lot there. I'll come to Andy. Andy, you're the last one I've came to. Last week sort of ended on a bit of a high with Cameron Carter-Vickers signing a new 5.5-year deal, and reports of Matt O'Reilly getting linked to Atletico. They were dismissed as well. I've got my suspicions about whether there actually was a bid or no, but what do you think's went wrong since then that has caused this sort of atmosphere among not just us on here, but the support in general that we see on Twitter, Facebook, whatever?
It's very obvious what's wrong, and it's the same thing that always goes wrong when there's a problem, and it's the people who run the club are fucking morons. There's no two ways about it. We're run by a shower of incompetence. Everything Tony said's bang on the money. Like, Celtic's biggest problem domestically, certainly, obviously Europe's always going to be a difficult nut to crack, but if you look at it domestically, and the fact that we're in a title race now is because of the people that run our club, the complete lack of preparation, and as Tony was picked up on it, about talking about people saying, oh, you can't criticise Lawwell, look what we've done, 20 years of dominance, so we should have, and that's no in any way spoiled to say that. Like, the Huns disappeared, they gave us every opportunity to put ourselves in such a strong position that they couldn't touch us for years, but we didn't do that. We cut corners, we tried to do everything in the cheap, we made sure that we just didn't go about things the way that we should have done. We weren't progressive about it. We ended up putting ourselves in a position where we had to turn to fucking Neil Lennon to try and carry us through, because they made an arse of so much at the club. And it's the same continued decisions. But now the issue with that, and why we get away with it for so long, is because the Huns weren't in a position where they could threaten us, because they were also ran by a shower of incompetence. But now they're in a position where they can come, and if we're not on it, they can beat us. They can beat the rest of the shite in the league. We're now at the position where they threaten us because of the way we've been ran, and that's why we're in this position. And the best time to do that is when you're still winning. But we're at the point, again, I think it's bang on. I think we would have only seen major movement in January as if they turned up and beat us. I think that's probably the only way we would have seen it. And we're fortunate that they never came and took points off us. But the performances have been far figured enough. Again, as has already been mentioned, you're turning to guys like Mikey Johnston, and they hurt me the boy, but he wasn't good enough. Whatever it was 7 years ago, he's no good enough now. Why he's still being paid a wage off of Celtic is mental. That's incredible to me. Absolutely incredible that he's still being paid a wage off of us. And it's not just him. There's so many players like that at the club. And it's just unbelievable. Even the Lagerbielko one, it's obviously we're talking about now, he looks to be going to Italy, if that's to be believed is true. Whoever sanctioned that should just be sacked in the spot. Listen, no good enough. You're no good enough at your job. You need to go. That's what happens. But not Celtic. It's, listen, don't worry about it. You're my pal. You're safe. Safe as houses. Don't worry about it. And it's just, it's continual just mismanagement from the top to the bottom. Roger's comments is wild to me. I know I don't actually understand what he's saying, because if he really has come back here not to be back, then what's the point? He should walk. If they're not going to let him spend money and sort of progress, what's the point of being here? Because he's not really going to improve us. Like, you're not going to make Celtic any better than we've been under Ange, or when Rodgers had us at his best in Invincible season. You're not going to make us any better when you're turning to Mikey Johnston, when you're turning to David Turnbull. That's never ever going to happen. It's going to be continually, well, fuck it, we're in for a tight win this year. Hopefully 100 strap points and we can scrape by here and there. That's where you're going to be at. You're never going to get any better in Europe. You're going to continually go into games in Europe saying, I hope we don't take a tank in the day. I hope we don't go and beat that 100 record. I'd be the one.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Team in Europe, that's where you're going to be at. And it's going to be that year in and year out. It's just incompetence. It really is. There's no other way to describe it. It's, if you're on the board at Celtic, you've got one of the safest jobs in football. If you're in any way at Celtic, you've got one of the safest jobs in football. We've all seen with Neil Lennon making a complete cunt of things, game after game after game after game. You're the safest job in football. That's where you are. As long as you're pally with the people that run the club, you're absolutely fine. Don't worry about it. And that's where we're at. These people need to be removed. And again, that's where it comes through. People talking about, oh, fans are spoiled, they're booing. Listen, people want to boo, they fucking paid a lot of money to be there. They can boo if they want. It's entirely up to them. You pay your money, you can turn up and you can say whatever you please. Unless you're the guy who had to go at the board, then you'll be forcibly removed because it's a dictatorship in there. But they're well within their rights to do that if that's what they want to do. And to be honest, I don't necessarily, although I wasn't booing myself, I don't necessarily disagree with it. Like, do you really want to wait till it's too late? Because we've already done that and we've seen what happened. We made an arse of it. And again, it's been bang on what you've already said. People want to bang on, oh, they've no money, they've no this, they've no that. Well, if we carry on the way we're carrying on the new, we're going to hand them all that. They're going to have money, they're going to be playing in the Champions League. All these things will happen. Not a problem. And we'll have nobody to blame but ourselves. It's always the same. Look, the people, the team that stopped Celtic winning the league is Celtic. And the people that stopped Celtic winning the league are the people who run the club. Because we are still in the best position. We hold the cards. We should be going out, improving the squad, getting the title out of the line, and building again for next season for an improvement. You can't go there, treble, and we're already out of Europe. Right, how do we improve on that? Go have as successful a season as we can now. Sign players for this season and for next season. Know where we get to summer and go, right, let's see what we can do. Fuck about in Asia and sign somebody for the second division like Quan, who ends up at fucking St Mirren. Who makes these signings? Who sanctions this? I don't see it changing, and I'm a bit, as Tony mentioned, I'm a bit the same. I'm just fucking sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of arguing with people who all they care about is being better than Rangers. Oh, they're so threatened by the fact that they went bust that they're convinced that can happen to us the minute we spend £1 million more than what we already offered the team. Look, I just don't get the energy for it anymore to sit and argue, because it's bonkers. It's absolutely bonkers. Like, these are the people the board want supporting the club, because they'll never get challenged in any decision that they'll ever make. These are the same people that the board thought they could get away with keeping Lennon in a job for so long and just saying, get it up, you will do what the fuck we like, because nobody will ever turn around and question them and really force them on the issue, which needs to happen. But it won't. It just won't happen. Fans are, I just think it's miles away from happening, and the only time that we will see change is when we do make an arse of it, which could be this season, could be next. But if nothing changes, it will happen eventually. Whether we win the league this season, if it's no this season, we'll make an arse of it the next season. You can't win the league forever at 100%. That's absolutely fine. But when you're in such a position where you can give yourself the best opportunity to do that, you should. But we are a million miles from doing that, and we're going to hear the same sound bites that we've heard 10 Januaries prior about how difficult it is. And then before you know it, we'll be fucking turning up to Ibrox for Mikey Johnston up front, crossing our fingers and saying our prayers and hoping for the absolute best.
Aye, definitely. And I think that for me, both Lawells are a problem at the moment. It's funnily enough, it's actually, as we recall, it's 3 years to the day since Peter Lawell announced that he was retiring and therefore giving up his post as CEO. And 3 years later, he's still one of the main points of division between the support and one of the main points of negativity along the support. And it just feels like he's a bit, from the outside, he seems like an egomaniac that has to be the centre of everything that's getting done. And he just shouldn't be there. I would repeat it, he's a divisive figure between the support, and there's half a support that will blindly back him because we've had a sustained period of success. And that's correct, of course it is, but who wouldn't have led us to that? Like, Andy's right, the hands went bust and then came back and won a league title on Lawell's watch, who was supposed to be, like, you can blame managers, players, but he's the one at the top that should be pulling, that should have been sacking managers and ripping up heads of recruitment and that, if things were going that wrong. And since Lawell's been there, we've not won a European knockout tie. And for that mob that people think are still miles behind us, they've reached two European finals since Peter Lawell's been at Celtic, so don't tell me we can't do anything in Europe. If your club's run properly, he shouldn't be there. It's just that I thought I'd gone too much of him. And then his son, I was just looking, I think it was May 2022 that he was announced as our head of scouting and recruitment. And you look at some of the names that's come in since, saying guys like Kobayashi, absolutely been hopeless when he's been on and can't get near it. Sigrist, can't get near it. Abelgaard, another failure. Aksabanovic, punted Dunne Stoke. Burnaby, quite substantial amount spent on him for Argentina. Can't get near it. Gets a game because there's literally not another left back in the building. Nat Phillips, poor. Iwata, can't get near it. Fuan, as you say, punted to St Mirren after 6 months. Tilio played about 2 minutes in 6 months. Yang, half the support of Rotomo for Eddie. Lagerbielke, cost about £3 million, and we're trying to ship him out on loan to Italy. It's unacceptable. And I'd like to think whoever was running our club would pull these heads of recruitment up and the recruitment team and say, that's just not acceptable, you're done. But under our aim, you've just got that wee asterisk next to it saying, oh, if it's Peter's son, aye, so we'll just leave him in here, keep the old pals on. And it's not just the league that we're putting in contention, we're doing absolutely nothing to move forward in Europe. And the only thing they care about in Europe is getting sellouts and how much they can fleece the support for. We've got the ambition of being a real, any type of force in Europe. And I'm not saying we should be aiming for the later stages of the Champions League, but we should be capable of competing at a certain level. Like, the way we've been set up is just systematic of why we don't, and serious changes needed. And we're 3 days away from the transfer window shutting, and there's absolutely no signs yet, and there's no really any real rumours of anybody that's going to come in. And even at this point, would you trust that they are going to make a difference? Because as has been mentioned, the manager's been out for months saying he needs quality, and then one of you says that he seems complicit when he's last week in his press conference saying, talking about being ready to go for the second half of the season, and sort of backtracking from the sort of comments about needing quality. Like, after the 2-0 defeat to Hearts at Celtic Park, Cal McGregor was out calling for quality as well, and now we're going to possibly finish this month having brought in one player who is yet to see what he's going to do. And it doesn't just hamper us for this season, it hampers us for next season, because there's every chance we lose a big hitter or two in the summer. And it really is a poor situation to be in, because we were made significantly weaker in the summer when Moy retired and we lost Carol Starfelt and Jota, and we've not even looked to improve from then. It's just been a load of punts that have just not worked. And I don't know, Danny, what's your hopes for this last 3 days, if you have any? I know the sort of latest transfer news that's been breaking the day is that, well, not so much transfer news, but Rocco Vatta has apparently rejected a 4-year contract offer from Celtic, and one-time target who we couldn't even convince Liverpool to not play him for 9 minutes against Bournemouth when they were 3-0 up at the time. got Owen Beck. He's re-signed with Dundee on loan for the rest of the season, so he clearly wasn't as unattainable as Celtic thought.
Right. You're not blaming us for Owen Beck for Liverpool, right? I know.
Let me come in. Do you think if Celtic had made their intention clear that they were interested in the player, that he would have played them? Because as I say, they were 3-0 up at the time. There was 9 minutes to go. Do you think if Celtic had a concrete interest, that Klopp would have threw him on?
Vivian Over, it's not Celtic's fault that Klopp played him for 10 minutes. I get fucking. You can't blame him for everything. Like Klopp's played him for 10 minutes. And went, well, actually, I don't need you anymore because a couple of players are coming back. Why don't you go back to Dundee and loan? I mean, why would Celtic, if Celtic were interested in him, why would they not just sign him and then made Dundee? So they've got him. Liverpool were obviously after a fee, quite a big fee, and it's all right saying spend, overspend, overspend, but if the players are shite, using on here moaning about how the recruitment's terrible. I'm with yous all the way, but a bit of fucking clarity, a bit of perspective. Mark Lowell needs to go. Right, you can't have that many and survive in a job. Like, if any of us had that record in our job, we'd all be out the door. There's no two ways about it. It's the chairman's son or whether he didn't. You need to, that's another thing, but his record is terrible. You could caveat a few Kobayashi's clearly and signing it, you know, unless you want to give the board credit for Maeda then Hitati and whatever. But they've no, it's hard to get any signings that have really worked out. I mean, I think Palmer's a good player, but he's not exactly turned the corner for the club like a Riley did. Or aye, somebody in that position with that, it's like it's kind of hard to justify. Like, we don't want to see anybody get a Dan Mack. You don't want to see MD lose their job. But Lagerbielka's example, $3.5 million, plays about 6 times, and then he's out the door. We couldn't even sell him. He's away on loan, and we're hoping that he plays well when he's on, so that Lecce take up their option to buy him. It's just, maybe we should wait until the summer and then like go through the years, but we're throwing away prime years, right? We're throwing away Callum McGregor's prime, we're throwing away like Carter Vickers' prime, we're throwing away having an elite manager. We're throwing all this away to effectively continue with a transfer strategy that worked for us 14, 15 years ago. We've not moved on for the Wanyamas and the Hoopers and Brozek's and Rami Gerson's and all that. For every one player, or Van Dijk, but for every one good player that we sign, you're looking at 3 or 4 that don't pick up. And when we have stretched out the money, right, Barkas and Ayeti, that's been tweeting about, right, they're two, but you've got Jota, Carter Vickers, Edward, they're three that worked out. It's probably, I can't, Julian was a good player, scored the winner in the cup final for us, was really a cruel injury that put paid to his Celtic career because I thought he was a good player. So there's automatically doubled that we've spent over $5 million on that were good. Obviously, you can look back, you've got Sutton, Hearts and Lennon and all that who are good players, but we're talking about in the last couple of years. And I don't think there's any hidden meaning. I don't think they're trying to help Rangers. I don't think they're doing it because they hate the fans. I think they're just fiercely fucking loyal to the transfer strategy that's flawed now. Fit was moved on for that. Even simple inflation has moved on for that. Like, you can't get for $2 million now, they're costing $4 or $5 million. And yet they seem to get good fees for our players. But like last year, like Mark, I know he's head of recruitment, I don't know who deals with selling our players, but there's fucking Yich in the World Cup quarter final against Brazil, Mark Neymar off the park. You see, did a hang, I think it was at half time or at full time before extra time in that game, about how good Anovic is. If you're Celtic, you name your price. He's just shown, Anovic was what, 26, 27, he was at his prime. Name your price for that guy. He's starring in the World Cup, he's got it. He ended up getting the semi final, I think they finished third or fourth. But you fucking name your price, and for $7.5 million or something, rising to $8 million, rising to $9 million, depending on all these. And Yaki Marcus, who kind of forced his way out, be for about $4.5-5 million. I mean, we barely doubled the money in him. So the transfer system is flawed. The O'Reilly thing, if that was a straight deal rather than a loan, even with an obligation to buy it, is effectively a transfer. But I don't think even the Celtic board could put a front on loaning O'Reilly out. I mean, a guaranteed money in the summer. But if that was a straight transfer for 20-odd million, they would be at the door as well. They just, I, and then with 2 days to go, they can't no bring anybody in. Everything about Celtic's frustrating now because we've won 6 games in a row, but yet everybody's talking about this iceberg that we're walking into. I'm trying to be optimistic, but you can find it harder and harder to say, well, actually, we might get lucky and win the league. You're actually saying that now, is we might get lucky and win the league. Well, we should be confident enough to go and like see it out, but you're just not confident in a minute. And they can't afford not to bring at least 2 in before the win. I mean, there's no rumours, which is a bit disconcerting, but if Celtic think that they can get away with this, like not be adversely affected if they don't improve the squad for this position, then they can only get themselves to blame if the fans turn. Like, there's nothing that the board can turn around and say to the fans to like placate them at the minute. It's like, if this team goes on to win the league, it won't be because the board backed the manager, it'll be because whatever reason, the managers get some effort out of the players that are there. The squad's just vastly inferior to what it was a year ago, and that's after winning a treble. And what did we get? About 30, 40 million in transfer. And yet, we've not improved this. We've not signed a player that like takes us up a level, and that's a real. And until they, I mean, they're not going to do it now, are they? If we do sign 2 players, it'll be loans, and that might be enough to get us out of line in the league. But like, you're almost pleading with them in the summer, like, we need a reset. Celtic are a dominant position in domestically. Europe, we've underachieved. That's that about law. We'll never oversee in Europe. And a knockout thing is just that. It's just fucking mental. Like, surely he's got some personal fucking ambition to go and do that. Doesn't seem like it. And you just think they get the summer, just reset. Like, something's got to give, because if we don't win the league, then the fans are only going to blame, really, the board. And Rodgers will get it because he's only happy to come back. But like, they've only got themselves to blame. They can't turn and say, we backed the squad to this. And like, all the money they've spent is shite. And the lag will be, okay, if I produce that in my work and 6 months later I'm trying to get rid of them, I'd be out the door as well. So I don't see how, even for the chairman's son, I don't see how it should be any different. The head of recruitment.
No, it really shouldn't be, but problem is a lot of the support, they think it is different because whose son it is, but who knows if anything will change, and if it will, when it will. But Tony, I'll come back to you with, as I say, 3 days remaining. What do you actually think will happen in the next 3 days? Do you think we'll get anybody in? If so, any position you think that will be sort of fixed, like the striker position, for example? Well, currently gone with 2 strikers, one's away the Asian Cup, and the other one's not in great form, and Kyogo, who, as I said at the start, it was another performance where he barely get a sniff, and it's not even that we're one injury away from a sort of problem there. We're having a problem now because you've not got that starting option at the moment, and even when Owen's back, a lot of people still don't think he's proved himself. So do you think that a striker's maybe one would get in by Thursday?
No, I don't think we'll sign anybody. I think we're going to gamble and try and win the league in the cheap. And I think this might be the time we get caught. You're not going to hear the end of it. So, no, I don't have any faith in them. I think we've all touched on, I think they're inept. And I think they should all be sacked to the soonest possible opportunity. If it was up to me at this stage, I mean, if you're needing a striker that's going to score goals in Scotland to try and get you over the line, Miofsky or Shankland, I mean, for me, I would probably take Shankland just to fuck the Huns up a bit, because that would really get to
that. Does that cause you went to school with him?
That's because we used to sing the sash together at school. No, there's not any day we got to school with him, but I think if we were to give Hearts the money they want and offer him a big contract, I know he's a big Rangers fan, but I think he would come, and I think that would fuck them up a bit. I think their fans are desperate to sign him, so no, I would go and get Miofsky. I mean, he's a good option, he'll score you goals. I mean, is it going to be the answer in Europe? Maybe no, but I feel as though when we were 8 clear, we were thinking about Europe, but that's kind of changed now. We're in a title race, and it looks like one that we really could easily lose because of stupid decisions. So if either of them were to come in, I would be happy with that. I know that Danny's kind of sticking up for the club when it comes to one back, but surely we could just have went to Liverpool and went, much as you want for him, we want X amount, right, here you go, here's your money. I know it sounds really simplistic, and it's obviously not the way things work, but I think if we actually wanted him, we could have done it a whole lot better. And I think I'm not letting them off the hook with that. If they wanted him, then they've made an ass of it again. But I've said before that the club's just full of people that aren't doing their job, right? Even the fucking pitch. The pitch is an absolute fucking riot. You've got the manager criticising the pitch. I mean, I feel at times that they were the biggest club, one of the biggest clubs in the world, and we act like one of the smallest clubs in the world. I think decision-making and just incorrect decisions continually is just, is baffling. It's so strange. I mean, and this feels like a time machine. I mean, I remember Rodgers moaning about the pitch the last time he was here. But have they changed it? Have they changed the guys that look after the pitch? Probably no. You're still getting the same problems. Right? You can kind of correlate that to the people in the boardroom and different things. So, no, for me, I think next up's got to be a hard game. I think we might draw points, to be totally honest. I know that sounds overly negative, and look, we could very easily, they could fall away, and we could easily win the league. But I just think that just something feels so far wrong, and these things can quickly go tits up, as we know.
Aye, definitely, they can change in an instant, and who knows, maybe in a few days' time we will be talking about a few new signings that maybe we do look at with some optimism. Somehow doubt it. Andy, I'll just give you the final word for this episode. Do you think we'll get anybody in, and if so, how many?
I doubt it, to be honest with you. I do agree. I think we'll go sign date in the cheap. I hope I'm proven wrong. I hope that we get to deadline day and there's three signings announced or something like that. But I really don't see it. I don't have any faith or any confidence in the people that run the club. And to be honest with you, again, if you were to tell me the new ICL could go sign 2 or 3 players, again, I don't think they're going to be proven sort of talents. Again, you can listen, the amount of money guarantees success with a signing. I fully agree with that. However, if you spend a bit more, you increase that likelihood, especially if the players are a wee bit older. You know, obviously, Juranovic was mentioned, which is a good example, as opposed to signing 18, 19-year-old who you're just sort of hoping for the best that you can turn a profit out of when we sell them on. But I don't think so. I honestly don't know what the fuck the recruitment team got up to, sit about and play Kaplunk or something. No, got a fucking clue. But then again, neither do they. So that obviously qualifies me for a job in the recruitment team. But no, I don't think so. I think we're going to hope for the best, hope we can date in the cheap, then that'll keep the happy clappers happy. But again, I think that would be down to them making a cunt of things across the city as opposed to anything brilliant we'll do, because the way we are the new, I don't see how this team and this squad kick on. I thought we might after January, after the winter break, come back in January, I thought maybe that would be it. Maybe the team would find that to get that way to go through the gears and really kick on, but I don't see it. And then again, the players who are sort of pushing the first team, let's be honest, if you're a winger, you're not going to be threatened by James Forrest, you're not going to be threatened by Mikey Johnston. If you're a midfielder, what are you looking at? You're turning up to training and seeing fucking James McCarthy. Like, come on, you fuck, man. I just don't see it. But I pray that I'm proven wrong, Darren. But no, I think where we are then now will be where we are when a minute past that transfer window closing, and then I'm really looking forward to hearing all the sound bites before we get 2-3 months out for the end of the season and Roger starts to talk about bringing quality in again, if he's no fucked off by then. So, but I wouldn't kind of wait.
Right, well, there you go. That sort of sums up our optimism in the current transfer strategy. I think we're just going to wrap it up there because we're approaching an hour. We will come back after Thursday. We'll maybe try and get one Thursday night just when it looks more clearer how our transfer window is going to end. We'll have in-depth long segments on our new signings that we make in between now and then, so don't worry if you've not got a lot of time in your hand, that'll take about 10 seconds probably. But I will come back probably Thursday night and we'll preview that Aberdeen game that's coming up at weekend, as well as the Celts look to keep the winning run going. If you hear any rumours, get them sent over to us over on X or Facebook or Instagram, just search for 4 times in a podcast and we'll hopefully get some ITK information from yourselves. But if you've made it this far, well done to you and thanks very much. We do appreciate everybody who's tuning in, and as I say, we'll be back later in the week with a transfer roundup and an Aberdeen preview. Cheers.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.